The Lord be with you.
With your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. The passage from the Gospel which we read today was originally the conclusion to John's Gospel. Next week we will see why it was necessary to add to it, but for now we will look at what is being emphasized and why it is important. It begins with Mary Magdalene visiting Jesus's tomb, and thinking that it has been vandalized. She runs to Peter and John and tells them what she has seen. They in turn run back with her and discover not only that there was no body, but that the burial cloths were removed, neatly arranged, and put aside. Would thieves do this? They are disconcerted and confused, for as we are told, they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. Peter and John return to the upper room, but Mary stays. She is convinced that the body of Jesus has been taken away, and asks a person she believes, the gardener, to tell her where it is so she can reclaim it. The gardener calls Mary by name, and she knows that it is Jesus. But look at what follows. She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Now, Jesus is undoubtedly a teacher, but he is more than that. Notice as well what follows. Jesus said to her, "Stop holding on to me, for I am not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and tell them, I am going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Stop holding on to me. By calling him teacher, she is trying to hold on to the past, to the Jesus that she knew and loved, but he is more than that. Recognizing Jesus is not enough. We must believe in the risen Lord. So now we come to today's passage. Although the doors are bolted, Jesus enters the upper room, but immediately proves to them that he is not a mere spirit or ghost, but showing his wounds. It is the real Lord. Their reaction is joy, the truest sign of the presence of Jesus. When he left them, he said, "So you are now in anguish, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you." This is why he greeted them with, "Peace be with you." He told them before, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid." Now they see Jesus before them, but this is no guarantee that their faith will hold up against the forces of the world. They ran away from the cross, and they didn't recognize him at first. They need more. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Is it the Spirit that binds Jesus to us and to each other? The Spirit forms the church. It is the Spirit that the disciples know who Jesus is and what they must do. They know they are sent into the world. This is the same for us. We know the real Jesus only in the Spirit and only in community. Mary Magdalene loved Jesus so much that she risked so much for him. Yet it is only now in the Spirit that she understands who he is. We see the importance of this in the next scene. Thomas was away and did not receive the Spirit. When the disciples tell him, his response is, and from a perfect, purely earthly state, a very wise and sensible one. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Thomas was not a lukewarm follower, nor an unperceptive one. He recognized what was coming, perhaps before the other apostles, and even said when Jesus went to raise Lazarus, "Let us go and die with him." Even commitment is not enough. There must be a true experience of the risen Lord. That is the importance of the church and the apostolic witness. The bishops, in union with the Pope, are primarily successors to the witnesses of the resurrection. It is not merely passing down information, but a lived experience. We find Jesus in the community of those drawn together by the Spirit. The memories, commitment, and courage of the disciples, from Mary Magdalene through Thomas, are simply not enough. They are still only human and will not bind us. Everything rests upon the finding Jesus in the Spirit and in his community. Thus, to use a favorite phrase, belonging comes before believing. This is more than a personal idea or quirk of mine. This week, the Vatican released the outline of its new constitution, and a new institution is being created that will place all the offices that relate to evangelization ahead of everything else, including doctrine. This is more than a wily Jesuit annoying his opponents, but a clear statement that everything flows from the lived reality of our faith. We need to tell our story, the story of Jesus' death and resurrection, first and foremost, before all else. How wonderful that we celebrate First Communion today at this Mass. It is a time for us to remember the beauty of receiving Jesus in the Eucharist. But we must remember that that means when we say Amen, after we are given the body and blood of Jesus, we are saying not only that we believe that it is more than bread and wine, but that we believe that the Church, beginning with St. Charles Borromeo, is more than a mere organization of like-minded people. We are truly brothers and sisters. This is where we belong, where God wants us to be. However important it is for us to receive Jesus, it is more important that Jesus receives us, and that he can do so only if we first receive our brothers and sisters in his name.